Amen. I want to continue in Revelation, and we're going to go to the 17th chapter. I'll begin to read in the first verse here, 17th chapter of Revelation. There came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials. Remember last week we talked about the angels. There were seven, seven, and seven. First was the book, or the scrolls, really, but they called a scroll a book in those days, and they were sealed. And the Lamb of God was found worthy to open the seals. There was no man was it. Now the opening of the seals, remember, is an opening of a revelation, a hidden thing that God opened up to reveal to John, so that he could reveal these things then to the church. So when they are opened, then there's an announcement. There's a trumpet sound, and the angels came and they made these announcements of what was going to come. Then you have at the seventh trumpet. Then begin the seven vials. A vial is a bowl. And these bowls or cups or whatever you want to call them are then poured out. So we've come to the end of the seventh vial, and now we start in the 17th chapter, okay? It says, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials. Okay, so one of these angels is now coming to say something else to us. And talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Let me get my little writing instrument here again. I don't know how to draw a woman, but let's just say here she is, and she's sitting here. And she is sitting on what is called many waters. Okay, so there's something separate. She is something separate from the many waters. Do you follow what I'm saying? So what we're talking about here now, the song that we sing, sing all ye little ones to the glory of God. Ye 144,000, lift up your voice, because Babylon is fallen. Now, this is the great whore, okay? It's an evil woman. She's unfaithful. She's not a bride, but she is a church. She is a religious system. All right, when you have a woman is always a type of God's people. God is he himself is the bridegroom. A woman is to be the bride. Now, this is not a faithful bride, okay? This is a real rip. I mean, she's unfaithful. She's just gone astray. She's not, she's faithful to nothing but herself. So let's see the picture here. And I will show you the judgment of the great evil woman, the whore, amen, that sits upon many waters. Now, we're going to find out what these many waters are. And later in the passage here, we're going to see that these waters are many people. Remember when we talk about the sea. The sea is what? The sea is the vast, unredeemed humanity. So she is sitting, if she sits on something, it means she's kind of in control of it. If somebody's sitting on you, who's in control? They are. If you're sitting on something or somebody, you're in control. But she's in control of vast numbers of humanity. What did they say the number of Roman Catholics under the Pope's dominion in this world are? What is it estimated to be, a fourth or a third of humanity or something? At least a fourth. So if we have, let's say we have a population of the world of 7 billion people, approximately 2 billion of these people are under this dominion. Look at all of South America. Look at all. I mean, just everywhere. Look at some of the countries of Europe that are under the dominion of this thing. Italy, France, Spain. Tried to get a hold of UK, and now of course there's traitors in the UK that are going back into the great whore system. All right, so let's move on. It says, she sits on many waters with whom the kings of the earth. Now maybe there's a few kings that haven't. But this is false religion now, remember. I'm not sure whether false religion doesn't include Islam. Because, you know, there's history that says that the Pope at that time was the originator of Islam. And they have some of the same traditions. What's the woman's name?
Fatima.
Fatima was what? One of Muhammad's wives or something? And the Roman Catholic Church sent this woman in to sort of... See, they weren't Islamic at that time. And I don't know the exact full story. I can't remember it. I've read it before. But there's tentacles of Roman Catholicism that are into Islam as well. I think the thing kind of got away on them, and it didn't work out the way they intended it to work out. But there's still links and ties there, okay? So we have the great city of religion. Now, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. In other words, we have a figure of speech here. They're bedfellows. They're in the same bed. All right, they're involved in the same activities, and the inhabitants of the earth have drunk the wine of her fornication. There's that term again. We saw that term last week again. The wine of her fornication. The wine of her two words here that both imply, shall we say, a certain measure of flesh pleasure. Both of these, the fornication and the wine. And what is the end result? What do these things do in the natural to people? They do the same thing spiritually to people. They bring them into a state of deception, of poor judgment, of intoxication, to where they can be led to any place, anything. Just here it is, believe it, and we'll give you comfort, we'll give you security, we'll tell you that everything is fine, you don't need to worry about anything. So this is, we're describing the wine of her fornication, but there's another term called the wrath of the wine of her fornication. See, this thing is building up in God's cup, and he is not at all happy with what's been happening. Okay, so let's go on. So he carried me away in the spirit. Now remember, throughout Revelation, so many times we find the term in the spirit. So when you try to make these a natural thing, okay, you have to understand, John, this is a spiritual book. John is in the spirit. He's seeing spiritual things. He's not seeing natural things. He describes them in natural language. But it's not a natural thing. He sees a horse. It's not a natural horse, okay? He sees a city. It's not a natural city. It's not. And so people, when they say the great city is fallen, the great Babylon is fallen, they say, and I've heard so many people, oh, that's New York City. Well, that's for sure New York City. It's not my city. It's New York, you know? So everybody says, oh, yep, it's got to be New York City. Well, come on, it's not Berlin, it's not New York City, it's not Prague, it's not London, it's not Paris. No, it's not a natural city. It's a ingathering of spirits that have held men in bondage and deception. All right, so it's in the wilderness. He took me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit on a scarlet-colored beast. All right, now here we have the same woman. Okay, not only is she sitting on many waters, but now we have a different scene here. Okay, now she's sitting on a beast. Okay, let's get a description of this beast. A woman arrayed in purple. I don't have a purple color here, but see, she's in purple. A woman arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold. Now, what do these colors represent? Purple and scarlet. These are symbolic colors. What is purple?
Royalty.
In other words, she says, I'm a queen. I'm not a widow. I'm a queen. Treat me like a queen. So, purple, scarlet. Now, scarlet is a very interesting color. I looked it up. It's not the same as red. Okay, it is red, but it's a different kind of red. I went and looked up the beast here in chapter 12 of Revelation. Okay? And verse 3. This is the devil. This is Satan now. Okay? And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. Amen? Having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns on his head. Now, it's probably the same beast. But why does God use a different kind of red to describe it? This red here in chapter 12, it means fiery red. Fiery red. And fiery red is a different kind of red than scarlet red. Where do you find scarlet red today in religion?
The Pope's robes.
The cardinals' robes. All these cardinals, the robe is scarlet color. And of course, our little bird that comes to the feeder, we call him a cardinal because he's dressed like the cardinals. But he's a nice little bird. He's not wicked and anything like that. Okay, so she is dressed in scarlet. She's sitting on a scarlet-colored beast, full of the names of blasphemy, and having seven heads and ten horns. So there you have your beast again. The beast is in chapter 12, it's in chapter 13, and here you have the beast again in chapter 17. Now, sometimes there's something a little bit different, which means there's a little bit different description of this system. A beast with seven heads, what is it? And ten horns. This is a political system. This is a ruling system that rules and is going to rule. This is the system that's going to come forth probably quite soon in our generation, in our time. We're going to see this system. There's going to be... Let me just get it straight here. I'm looking for the heads and the crowns. Okay, the heads are nations. The horns are men. The crowns are their titles and positions. Okay? So we have over here, this beast has seven heads. Okay? So these heads are nations. There's seven nations, and there's ten horns, so there's ten men involved with these seven nations. And this is the one that the harlot is sitting on. All right? And the woman herself was also arrayed in purple and scarlet and decked with gold. Now remember, this is not a natural woman. This is a system. A system sitting on another system. When she's sitting, when you sit on a beast, who's in control?
The rider.
The rider is in control. You try sitting on a beast that doesn't want you to sit there, you're going to be thrown off in a hurry. Do you ever watch any of these rodeo, these cowboy things, try to sit on these wild bulls? My goodness. He throws him. He'll eventually get him off because he does not want anything to be in control of him. So she's sitting on this beast, okay? And she has precious stones, gold, precious stones, pearls, having a golden cup in her hand. Now, what's in that golden cup? the wine of her fornication. But not only that, we're going to find something else in that cup. Okay? Full of abominations and filthiness of her fornications. Her cup is full. You have a figure of speech. Your cup is full. What did you fill your cup with? What did you spend your life doing? That's what your cup is full of. Okay? And it says, and on her forehead was a name written. Now, if there's a name written on your forehead, what does that imply? I would say it's your name. It's what's in you. It's what your mind is sealed with. Her name is Mystery Babylon the Great. So, Babylon is, you ask the average man on the street, well, what's Babylon mean?
Well, I don't know. Well, it's some ancient place, wasn't it?
But Babylon is alive today. And this book is a future book. When John wrote it, it was not about the past, it was about the future to come. So her name written on her forehead was Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So if she is the mother, then what does that imply? How do you get to be a mother? Nobody's going to help me here? You get to be a mother by having children. Okay? She has daughters, in other words. So we have a mother church who is the mother of harlots, and then the other churches who have descended from her are also what? They're also harlot systems, but she's the mother. Oh my goodness. Just read the history of quote, the church. The church started off as a pure bride of Christ. And by the time they got into, I don't think the church had gone 200 years, and they were having bishops, and soon they were selecting a chief bishop, a pope, in other words. And from this, even the churches that broke off, even most of the churches that broke off during the time of the Reformation, have retained, many of them have retained the ways of the mother harlot church. What ways would that be? Baptizing infants. The bread and the wine being the body and blood of Jesus Christ in the natural. So many of the ways and doctrines of the Mother Church. Oh, we broke away, we don't believe in this. Yeah, but you practice everything else. The pyramid system of government. The churches, almost all of them, carried that away from Babylon. Oh, they don't call their head leader the Pope. They call him the general superintendent. And he has an office somewhere, I don't know, out in some village, some town in Illinois or Kansas City or wherever it is, I don't know. And the pastor, of course, same authority as the priest. He's the ruler over the congregation. He's got somebody over him. This is the harlot system. Amen. So, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. What else was in that cup? She's drunk with the blood of the saints. In other words, she has killed so many of the righteous saints and prophets of God. She's drunk on that power. She believes, you know what? They had to stop doing it in the 1600s. In the late 1600s, I think was the last one of the true martyrs. Do you know why she quit? Because she couldn't get away with it anymore. People were rising up against it. But they carried out a bloody stage or whatever you want to call it, throughout the 1500s, 1400s. Terrible, terrible what they did to the people that said, I will not be part of this thing. And you know, it wasn't just the Roman Catholics that were killing them. These Protestant churches, some of them were just as wicked and just as bad. and especially the Reformed churches of Switzerland. Switzerland was just brutal. They were just as brutal as the Spanish, the Italian, and the French, the Dutch. They were just as brutal in killing the saints. Hunt them down like sending dogs after animals to trap them and to track them and then burn them at the stake. This is the woman we're talking about, brethren. This is the system. This is the city. Amen. Woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now that word admiration is a poor choice in today's language. In ancient English, it meant something different. Here's a better word for that. I wondered with great amazement. He did not admire. He was amazed at this woman. All right, let me move on to verse 15 here now, in the same chapter. I'm going down. Verse 15, okay. And he said unto me, the waters that thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples. See, remember the waters, the many waters that she's sitting on? The Bible defines itself here, brethren. You know what these waters are. The waters are what? People, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And now he's describing the beast. He says, and the 10 horns, 10 men, which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. In other words, they want to be in control. They don't want that woman sitting on them with a bit and bridle in their mouth telling them where they have to go. These men, one day they decide, look, we don't need this pope ruling us. We don't need this system anymore. It says they hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Now remember that spiritual language. How do you burn a system? How do you eat a system up? How do you eat a political organization? How do you burn a political organization? You can't take it out and make a bonfire out in the street. It's symbolic language. So we see fire again in this system. They're going to burn that thing with fire, which means she's going to... What were the things about fire? Fire was what?
Purifying.
Purify, destroy, and torment. By the way, there's a good thing of fire. Who was it? Jeremiah said he had fire in his bones. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Was it Jeremiah?
I believe so, because the Lord gave him a word to speak.
He had a word, and I was talking to Brother Martin on Skype the other day, last week, and he used the term, he said, Brother Mark, we should find the men who have the fire in them.
Hallelujah.
For this message.
Hallelujah.
These are the people that we should be praying for and supporting. Find the men who have the fire in them. Now that's a good fire. I didn't put that one up here. But what is this political organization want to do with this religious organization that has been ruling and controlling them? These kings, you look at the history. These cardinals, these popes, these bishops, one of these kings gets appointed one of these high-ranking Catholic clergy as his confessor. And the king has to go to this guy and confess all his beliefs, all his sins, all his everything. And then this confessor... What was the movie? And it was a true thing. Was it the Three Musketeers? What, no. Oh my goodness. It was a true story of the King of France and the Archbishop that was in control of this king. And he would tell this king what he had to do. And he had that king in such terror and fear of purgatory and hell and everything else. And so this archbishop would tell him, you got to go persecute those people. You got to wipe those people out. You can't allow those people in your kingdom. And so the old king would go out and murder him with his army. This is what happened in some of these great massacres that just...
Is that Paul with the Templars?
But anyway, there was one archbishop or cardinal or something that was just absolutely horrible. And they finally got rid of him, killed him. So, but you see, John is talking about something on an even grander scale than that. I believe these men that rule in some of these Catholic countries are probably more under the control of the Pope than you and I know. These fellows are required to go to confession as well, and they of course assign a high-ranking clergyman to be his confessor. So anyway, they're going to destroy. Fire. They're going to destroy that system. They're going to be part of the destruction of that system. And they said they will burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts. See, God put in their hearts. Now let's not get too overwhelmed with whatever is happening in our political system. It may very well be that God put something in somebody's heart because it's time. I don't know what's going to happen. We're going to know this week, I'm sure, what's going to happen. But God put in their hearts, the king's hearts. You see the control God has? If he wants to put something in the king's heart, he puts it in. God put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree to give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. So the beast is going to rise up over the woman. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. What is she? Great city. Now, it says that she's Mystery Babylon, but is that all there is to Babylon? Babylon is more than a religious system. Let's go on a little bit. Let's go into chapter 18 now and go down to verse 4. We'll just hit verse 3 too. Oh my goodness, let's start in the beginning. It's too much good here. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. That angel had great authority. Where do you get authority from, by the way?
The Lord.
Yes. He's the only one that has authority. There's no king, there's no president can have authority unless it's given to him of God. Isn't that what Jesus said to Pilate? He said, Pilate, you don't have any authority except what God gave you. If you want to kill me, if you want to have me crucified, it's because God gave you the authority to do it. You're not doing this on your own. You don't have anything, Pilate. So, this angel has great authority, and the earth was lighted with his glory, illuminated. And he cried with a mighty strong voice, saying, Babylon is fallen. That's that song we sang this morning. Babylon has fallen. That great city has fallen. It says, and become the habitation of devils. That system is full of devils now. Okay? The habitation or demons. The proper word there is demons. Okay? And the hold of every foul spirit. And the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. We're talking spiritual things here. For all nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants, see, now we're into the financial system as well. We've got religious, political, and financial, three things that make up Babylon. They're all in cahoots together. The merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Now here's a message people don't like to hear. People don't like to hear that they're part of Babylon. But brethren, God does not hate these people. He doesn't hate these people. The cry to these people is, come out of her. He hates her, but he doesn't hate the people. So the cry is to these poor people, these poor deceived people, come out of her, my people. Now, God, that means that some of God's people are in this. People that are born again, people that are bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, because they are deceived, are still in this system. And the cry of the angel is, come out of her. We should take that cry also to the people. Come out of her, dear people. Boy, my goodness, I can't tell you how many times I've been rebuked. When people hear that, you tell them that, they just bristle with almost with hatred. How dare you? How dare you tell me that I need to come out of that system? Well, I'm only being merciful to you, and God is merciful to tell you. Why? Why come out of her? Listen to this. That ye be not partakers of her sins. In other words, if you're going to remain in an organization, and that organization is destined to fall, you're going to be a partaker of what's going to happen to it. So get out of it. Amen? And you receive not of her plagues. How are we going to get some immunity from some of these plagues that are coming? We're going to get out of Babylon because she's going to have plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works in the cup which she hath filled to her double. God has such a disdain for this thing. He's saying, whatever's in her cup, I'm going to double the results when it's poured out. She's getting a double portion of judgment. Amen. Let me go down a few verses. For how much she, this is still the religious system, she. When you find the word she here, it's still this harlot system. Okay? How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously. She lives in luxury, brethren. Luxury. No pain. No suffering. She's not poor. She can beg for money, but she's not poor. She's lived deliciously. What's a better word for that? Luxuriously. Amen. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. Look at Isaiah 47 verse 7 for just a minute. Now, this is Isaiah prophesying about Babylon, okay? But you see, in the time of Isaiah, there was only a natural Babylon. But it's a prophetic word, so therefore it applies to the future, the spiritual Babylon. Now listen to him here. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Well, she's not a virgin anymore. Amen? Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be tender and delicate. You're not a little girl anymore, honey. You're a bruised and battered old woman. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. Take the millstone and grind meal. In other words, you're going to have to work like an ox. You're not a sweet little honey anymore. Amen? Uncover thy locks. Make bare the leg, cover the thigh, pass over the river, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. See, what are people doing today? They're dressing just like this. See, it was considered modest for a woman not to uncover herself like this. But the mark of a slave is the one that had to take his clothes off, and all he was wearing was his breech cloth, and he works, and they're talking about a woman this way, okay? Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. Everybody wants to dress like that nowadays, don't they? I will take vengeance. I will not meet thee as a man. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. This is prophecy that's coming to pass now soon. Amen. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted my inheritance and given them unto thy hand. Thou didst show no mercy upon the ancient. And that's the older ones. Hast thou very heavily laid a yoke? Let's go down to verse 7. And thou said, you said, I shall be a lady forever. See, she thinks she's going to be a queen. She thinks that her religion is so established, it's so old, it's so long, that she's going to have all the favors. And by the way, the governments do give favors to the Roman Catholic Church. Do you want me to tell you something? We have to get permission to sell this building from an attorney general. Guess who's exempt if they want to sell any of their property? It's in the law of New York State. She's exempt. She can do whatever she wants. She doesn't have to go before some government official or anything else. Thou sayest, I will be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it. Therefore now, hear now this, thou art given to pleasures that dwells carelessly. Carelessly means securely. Thou sayest in thy heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. She thinks she's secure. Nothing's going to happen to her. No king will make a law against me. No government dares to bring anything against me. Boy, this must be a terrible blow to have these lawsuits going against these priests now that have behaved so badly in the past. This could be the beginning of the fall of Babylon. Oh, she's still got lots of money. But you hear the advertisements on the radio? Do any of you play the radio during the day? If you're part of the Diocese of Syracuse, file your claim now if you've been abused. They have it. Yeah, finally the kings were forced to pass a law to recompense some of these that were abused. But these things, verse 9, shall come upon thee in a moment, in one day.
These two things.
The loss of children and widowhood. In other words, the king that has been protecting you and you've been thinking you were his little mistress or whatever, he's going to dump you. You're out. You're gone. It's going to happen. It says in one day. Didn't it say that? In one day, they shall come upon thee in their perfection, in their fullness, for the multitude of thy sorceries and for thy great abundance of thine enchantments. Well, you can read the rest of it. It's basically, and I think Jeremiah has some of this to say too. Jeremiah and Isaiah, the prophets, are saying the same thing that is being revealed to John here in Revelation. Now, how far did I get in Revelation? Okay. She says, I said a queen and am no widow. Okay, now verse 8. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. I don't know what all these plagues are. They're not necessarily diseases, but there's something that's going to eat her up. Something is going to eat her. Something is going to burn her. Okay? In one day, death, mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord that judgeth her. Now, just a couple more verses here. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. Well, some of the kings are the ones that have put her off. And yet, on the other hand, they're going to bewail her and mourn when they see what? When they see the smoke of her burning. Smoke. I keep thinking about this smoke. This is not natural smoke. There's going to be some kind of reminder that I think is going to go on forever and ever that will remind us, don't touch this thing. Don't ever go back there. Don't, people, human beings, don't go and try to reorganize this thing. Because there's God is going to leave enough of a remnant, ashes, smoke, something, to remind us that there was a horrible thing called the city of Babylon. It's going to go up and we're going to see it. We're going to know. We are going to know that that thing is burning. Maybe the smoke is the continual news reports that keep coming and going and going and going, and the continual reminders of this and that being burnt and chewed up and spit out, you know? And to see her burning, standing far off for fear of her torment. Torment. It's not just destruction, now it's torment. For fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come.
Thinking of the cathedral in France,
oh,
the natural when it burnt down.
Yeah, that big Notre Dame. Well, they say they have it kind of fixed. They had a choir there at Easter, and all the choir people were wearing hard hat helmets because the falling of Babylon is still falling, but they're in there trying to make their choir and trying to make nice music. But listen, this is, oh my goodness, this is so good. Let me go on. Let me go down to verse 17. For in 1 hour, so great riches is come to naught. Now, remember, Babylon is not just religious. When you get to the kings of the earth here, we're talking about the political side of Babylon, okay? And then when we get down to verse 11, it says, and the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. So we're coming to the economic. See, we've got three things here. We've got religious. Babylon. We've got political. And we've got the merchants, which is the
economic.
Babylon. Okay. The religious has been the one sitting on it. They're going to throw her off. But everything's coming in 1 hour. So the other systems are coming down too. The economic system. Brethren, do you know what it means, the economic system coming to an end? Is there anything you can do to prepare for it? I don't think so, because you know what? These billionaires think they're preparing for it. They're salting away their money. They're putting this, they're putting that, you know. They're making I don't know what all. They're just all kinds of methods to protect themselves. They call it security, so that they'll be secure. Brethren, someday we're going to see that God is going to shake that whole thing up, and the only place you can be is in Him. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know how you can... At one time I thought, well, we can do this, we can do that. We can have another secure here, and we can keep an extra that. And I don't see how it's going to work anymore. The only place that we can be... You know, I've come from the Joseph thinking, the 7 years of storing food. I thought that way one time. Well, they did it in Egypt. Must be God's way. But you know what? That way passed away. And now I've come to the Elijah in the widow's house. The widow's going to have to give herself over to the prophetic word. And the prophetic and the widow are going to live together. And God is going to meet their needs. I don't think there's any other way. I've looked at all the other ways. There's no place to hide. Yet God hid that Elijah and he hid the widow. And Ahab went everywhere looking for them. And there she was, hidden in probably one of the little suburbs of where Jezebel was born. Just hidden away there. God hid him. Oh, we have so much electronic means of finding everybody. They'll have ways to track your car. They'll have ways to track your phone. They have ways to track your, I don't know, wherever you are. But God can confound all those methods. What do they say about this five? What is it called, Rita?
5G.
5G. You were reading one of the downsides of that 5G. You were reading the list of them the other day. Do you remember what they were?
Not really.
There's a lot of them. It's like a microwave thing that...
All things.
Yeah, the health thing is not the one I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of another one that... If this thing fails, see, it's so fast, people are going to love it. I heard a description. The guy said it's like the difference between dial-up speed and the cable today. This is going to be that much different. But there's a downside. The thing is very vulnerable, and the whole thing can crash in an instant.
That satellite.
Something is very vulnerable in this thing. It's very touchy.
They have to put the antennas everywhere because they can't beam it direct or it'll...
Yeah.
It's got to be a short hop. It's like years ago with a generator set up.
I'm not sure I want to be the first to sign up for it anyway. People are going to have a lot of security in these systems.
You already have it. You have a 5G router.
Oh, do I?
Yeah. As soon as it's available, you'll have it.
Oh, okay. Well, I probably won't have a router then. Who knows? I don't know. I don't care. Really. Really. I'm not going to try to avoid... My game and my goal is to try to be in Christ, in righteousness, without fault, without guile, in my mouth. That's where I want to be. And that, I know, is the only place we can be. We got to talk about the coming of the day of the Lord here soon, brethren.
Yeah.
But let me just read a few more here. One of the things that was so interesting to me, too, is when we get down here to... did I read verse 17? For in one hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster... My goodness. They're talking about every shipmaster. Do you realize how all our goods are coming to us? Have you any idea the size of these massive ships? What are they? The size of about 3 football fields? Am I right, John?
Yeah, they're big.
They're huge. Maybe that's a little exaggeration, but they are huge. And they're coming one after another from where?
China.
Back and forth across the ocean. The great shipmasters are crying and saying nobody is buying our stuff. Why? Why isn't anybody buying it? Because there's no money. It's failed. They want money to become electronic. Guess what? The vulnerability of electronic signals, all God has to do is go... And that whole electronic system is fried. The sun can do it. The sun goes in a 17-year cycle. We're coming up again now, coming around to where we're going to be close to the top of the 17-year cycle of flares. Yeah, and those flares put out enough electromagnetic pulse to destroy all the computerized system and the communication system, because we get it all from satellites. Your computers will be sitting there fried.
Good parking lot up there. Cars won't work.
Yes. Modern cars, because they're computer controlled. God can do it. And on the other hand, if you're a servant of God and He wants you to go somewhere, you go out and get in your car, and your car will go wherever God wants you to go.
Or He may just translate
you. Or He can make your car work when nobody else's will work. Or He can make your computer work when nobody else's works. God is in control, brethren. We've got to realize this. Man is going to lose his control. Let me go by here a little bit now. Verse 20, okay? It says, "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles." Heaven, what are the three places we have? We have heaven. Let me write this again here. We have heaven, earth, and sea. Now, this woman is sitting on the sea. Okay? The sea of humanity. When the word here says, "Rejoice ye heavens," is he talking to the angels in heaven and the throne of God? No. He's talking about heavenly people here. Us people. He's telling you to rejoice when you see these things happen. Rejoice ye heavens. Amen. And what else? "And holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone." My goodness, our time is flying. "A mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all." Now, if in the days of John they had bombs, he probably would have taken a bomb or a grenade, a huge grenade, and thrown it. "Thus with violence shall Babylon be thrown down." The best thing he had to show John was a giant millstone. Splash! And the water came up everywhere with violence. Okay? "And shall be found no more at all. And the voice..." Now, this is interesting. This is religion. This is church. "And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee." The Spirit of God... Yes, there has been a little bit of the Spirit of God in Babylon, in that harlot system, because there have been some good people in her. That's why he said, "Come out of her, my people." So the sound of praise, never going to be heard in her again. Those nice choirs, never again. Never again. "And no craftsman of whatever sort..." Jeremy's a craftsman. It's right there on his window. Isn't it one of the words, craftsman? Yeah, craftsman. Craftsmen are skilled laborers who have a particular trade of skill. Carpenter, bricklayer, you know? Plumber, electrician. No craftsman. And now remember, we have to have spiritual language here too. No teacher of the word. Amen. of whatever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all. Millstone is business, you know, carrying on the grinding of preparing of food. And the light of the lamp, that word candle should be light. The light of the lamp. What is the light of the lamp? What's that speak of? The lamp is the Holy Spirit, right? The light of the Holy Spirit will not be found in that religious system again anymore. Now, we're going from the mother of harlots all the way down through all her daughters. If any one of those daughter systems are identified with her, this is their judgment as well. Who would have thought that COVID would shut down all the churches? Who would have thought that a little disease... Do you know that most churches aren't doing what we're doing? They're shut down. They're trying to do it on Zoom and what have you. Who would have thought? I mean, can we not be amazed at God's methods? No more lamp. And the voice of the bridegroom. Who's the bridegroom? Jesus Christ. The voice of Jesus Christ will not be heard anymore in those systems when this happens. The fullness. Amen? And the bride shall be heard no more. The true bride... There's some bride people been hiding in that system. The true bride, get out, is what the Lord is saying. Come on, out, 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 out. I want to judge her. I'm going to burn her. Get out of town. Get out of this city. Get out of this system. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, and by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and all that were slain on the earth. I think I'll quit at that point. It's a good place to stop. Amen. So Babylon is fallen. We haven't seen the fullness of her fall yet. But the way things are going, I think we're seeing the signs of it. If you have any sympathies or love for Babylon, get it out of you. Sometimes we come out of Babylon, but our love for Babylon is still there. Jeremiah said the same thing. Don't weep for her. She's destroyed. She can't be saved. It's in Jeremiah. Come out of her. Jeremiah said the same thing. Come out of her, my people. Now you see, the natural Israel people were sent to Babylon. Why did God send them to Babylon? Because they'd taken Babylon in their heart. They were worshiping idols. They weren't worshiping God. He said, well, you guys want to have Babylon? I'm going to send Nebuchadnezzar in here and I'm going to haul you people off to Babylon. Then you'll find out what it's like to live in Babylon. Then you're going to miss the presence of God. And after 70 years, maybe you'll be cured of wanting Babylon. Praise the Lord.